Chapter 5. The fire was big for sure, but not quite so big as Julian had first thought. Now that they were closer, he could see that a portion of the flames he'd thought he was seeing was actually the reflection from the surface of a large swimming pool next to the house. Chaz whistled.
Sweet digs.
Not so sweet anymore, said Stacy. It looks like we're too late.
Julian frowned.
Maybe we should have visited here before spending the night getting shit-faced.
Don't fucking pin this on me, said Tim. I'm the one who thought to come here.
I'm not trying to pin anything on you. I'm just...
Shut up, the both of you, said Tony the elf. What's done is done. Bring us down next to the pool and we'll form a bucket brigade. We don't know how long this fire's been going. There may yet be something we can salvage, if only a clue as to where Mordred may have gone from here. Ravenous!
Julian called out.
Up here, sir!
Julian looked up. Ravenous was perched atop his quarterstaff.
Oh, good! Ravenous, I want you to circle the perimeter and see if you can spot Mordred.
At once, sir! What does he look like?
I have no idea!
Right!
Ravenous nodded his head decisively.
I'm on it!
He flapped off into the night sky. Julian brought the carpet down on the opposite side of the pool from the burning building. The heat given off by the flames was pretty intense, and the smoke stung his eyes. Having no bucket, Dave volunteered his breastplate. It would hold a decent amount of water and maybe keep him from baking alive inside his armor. Cooper took the position closest to the pool, followed by Dave, then Tony the elf, and ending with Stacy. She was as close to the fire as anyone dared get. Much to Julian's surprise, it looked like it might work. Cooper scooped up as much water as he could, and they only lost about half of it by the end of the chain, at which point Stacy hurled whatever was left into the fire and tossed the breastplate back to Cooper. She was stronger than she looked and barely breaking a sweat next to the raging fire.
What should I do?
Asked Chaz.
Play a song,
said Tony the elf. Chaz folded his arms.
I know I'm not the most useful member of the party or whatever, but I want to help. You don't have to be a dick.
Tony the elf's eyes were tearing up from the smoke. He passed Dave's breastplate to Stacy.
If you want to help, then play a goddamn song.
While waiting for the breastplate to cycle back to him, he wiped sweat and soot from his face with his sleeve.
You're a bard. Your purpose is to play music to bring out the best in others. Give us a rhythm to work to.
Chaz pulled the lute off his back and bit his lower lip. Finally, he looked up.
I think I've got something.
When he started picking at the strings, the tune wasn't entirely unfamiliar.
Nice one, said Stacy.
Two lines into the lyrics, Cooper stopped mid-scoop.
9 to 5?
He said.
Fucking Dolly Parton? That's the best you've got?
Cooper!
Stacy shouted. Cooper resumed the task at hand, and they actually seemed to become more efficient, the breastplate moving more smoothly and quickly from person to person and spilling less water.
Well, how about that? Said Julian.
It's still going to take forever, said Catherine, startling Julian.
He hadn't even realized she was standing right behind him.
Take us up over the house. I've got an idea.
Me too,
said Tim, hopping back onto the carpet as Julian guided it into the air.
Okay, said Catherine, once the carpet was directly above the house. Stop here.
As she rummaged through her bag, Tim pulled his idea out of the front of his pants and stood at the carpet's edge.
Suck it, fire!
Working 9 to... Hey, man, what the fuck?
Tim looked over the side.
Oh, shit, sorry, it got caught in the wind.
Get out of the way,
said Catherine, holding a silver pitcher. When she tipped it over, a small but steady stream of water flowed out. Julian maneuvered the carpet to adjust for the wind until the stream was pouring right into the fire. It wasn't going to make a huge difference, but he guessed every little bit helped.
What are you doing? Asked Tim. Don't you know that thing has different settings?
Settings?
Here, give me that.
Wash your hands first.
Tim rolled his eyes and rubbed his hands together as Catherine poured water over them.
Satisfied?
Catherine handed over the pitcher.
Back up the carpet,
Tim told Julian. As Julian backed up, Tim nodded and grinned.
Now get a load of this shit.
He aimed the pitcher down, its mouth pointed directly at the fire.
Geyser!
A second later, Tim disappeared, having been replaced with a jet of water and the word,
Fuck!
Tim!
Cried Catherine. Julian followed the collapsing trail of the stream. Tim was lying motionless on his back in the middle of a field, the silver pitcher resting next to him. Julian guided the carpet down. Catherine didn't waste any time. She jumped down off the carpet without even bothering to transform into anything. She hit the ground running and was at her brother's side in seconds.
Tim, are you okay?
Tim sat up slowly.
Fuck, that hurt.
That was really stupid of you, Catherine scolded him.
I'm too small, said Tim.
He looked up at Julian. Julian nodded, and they both spoke in unison.
Cooper!
Catherine and Tim climbed back aboard the carpet, and Julian ferried them back to the swimming pool.
Cooper!
Tim shouted as they approached.
Huh?
Said Cooper, turning toward him. Dave's breastplate hit him in the back of the head and fell into the pool.
Ow!
He looked down at the sinking breastplate.
Shit!
Leave it, said Tim.
He held out the pitcher. Try this!
Dude,
said Cooper.
I don't want to be judgmental about your drinking problem or whatever, but we're kind of in the middle of something here.
What? I don't... Fuck you! Just point this at the fire and brace yourself!
Cooper took the pitcher and held the opening out toward the fire.
Now what?
Say geyser.
Geyser?
The force nearly knocked Cooper back into the swimming pool, but he managed to steady himself and hold the pitcher firmly as a torrent of water blasted continuously out of it.
Oh, hell yes!
After a minute, Tim could already see the flames receding. The heat was noticeably less intense. Stacy stood back and smiled, her white teeth and eyes shining from her blackened, sooty face.
Way to go, Tim!
Tim's face turned red as he smiled back at her, looking quite pleased with himself. Julian was happy for him. If anyone needed a win, it was... Tim snapped his fingers.
It's still not enough. I've got another idea.
Oh, yeah? Said Catherine. Is it better than your pissing on Chaz idea?
Maybe. Julian, give me the bag of holding.
Julian brought the carpet down next to him. Catherine narrowed her eyes.
This plan better not involve me.
Without a word, Tim took the bag from Julian and jumped into the swimming pool.
Huh, said Julian. That was underwhelming. I was expecting something, I don't know, a little more...
Holy shit, said Dave. Check it out.
Julian looked over the edge of the carpet. The swimming pool had turned into a swirling vortex of water with Tim at the center of it. On the sides of the pool, he could see the water level rapidly receding. As quickly as the water was draining into the bag of holding, it still took over a minute for Tim's purple face to break the surface. He sucked in as much air as his little lungs could hold, then breathed heavily until the water leveled off with the mouth of the bag.
Give me a lift,
he called up to Julian. Julian took the carpet down and Tim climbed aboard. They flew back up over the house and Julian helped Tim hold the bag upside down. He braced himself for upward force as Tim reached up into the bag's mouth.
All the water! Shouted Tim.
Much to Julian's relief, the bag of holding didn't propel him into the sky. The water didn't shoot out like it did out of the magical pitcher. Instead, it just flowed out as gravity allowed. The mouth of the bag, however, was much wider than that of the pitcher and made short work of the fire on the second story of the building. By the time all of the pool water was spent, Cooper had gotten the fire on the bottom story of the building under control enough so that the group on the ground could start to make their way into the building. As the smoke dissipated, Julian could see that the fire on the second floor had actually been fueled by the floor itself. The rooms were empty. They were either never furnished to begin with, or all of the furniture had been used to act as fuel for the main fire downstairs. Made of sturdier beams than the roof, the floor hadn't completely burned away, but there was still a wide enough hole to guide the carpet down through. Chaz said something into Cooper's ear that Julian couldn't make out over the rush of the water. Shortly after, the geyser slowed to a trickle. Charred debris floated in pools and puddles all over the floor, but it wasn't hard to reconstruct the scene. The walls of one corner of the room were completely blackened. It was also this corner from which the second floor had burned away. Everything had been piled up here and set aflame.
He wasn't trying to burn the house down, said Dave. The fire was too focused. What was he doing?
Getting rid of stuff,
said Catherine, looking down at them from the edge of what was left of the second floor.
What stuff? Asked Tim.
All the stuff. Remember when Robbie dumped me and I burned all of his shit in the backyard?
Of course I remember. You took down half the fence.
Catherine nodded.
That's what went down here. Spite burn.
That doesn't make sense, said Tony the Elf. He had to know that once we got our heads out of our collective asses, this is one of the first places we'd come looking for him. Why waste all that time? Judging by the state of that fire, we only missed him by a couple of hours as it is. He couldn't afford to take that kind of risk.
Stacy picked up a warped, blackened sword blade.
He couldn't afford not to. Look at this.
What about it? Said Tony the Elf. It looks like it used to be part of a katana or something. You'd need an exotic weapon proficiency to use it. Not that it makes much difference in its current state.
That's what I'm talking about, said Stacy.
This place was cluttered with all kinds of magical potions, weapons, trinkets, you name it.
So he burned it?
Asked Tony the elf.
That stuff is worth a fortune.
Which is why he couldn't let us get our hands on it, said Dave. He armed himself to the teeth, packed up as much as he could carry, and burned the rest.
Detect magic,
Julian mumbled to himself. His vision grew darker, and he could see the remnants of magical auras everywhere. The blade in Stacy's hands was emitting a soft purple vapor glow as the last of its magic drained out. The burnt rubbish heap at the site of the main fire was cloudy with a mix of different colored auras.
Stacy and Dave are right, he said. There was a whole lot of magic around here, but it's dissipating even as we speak.
No! Cried Tim. We could have been total badasses! Is there nothing left?
Julian frowned at the burnt pile.
Not here.
When he turned around to look at the rest of the interior, however, he was bombarded with strong magical auras.
Hang on!
What is it?
Asked Tim.
The wall's over there,
Julian said, pointing at the far end of the room, which hadn't been damaged by fire.
There's magic all over them! Red and green and purple and orange! Looks like a Motel 6 for clowns!
Tim jumped off the carpet and splashed through the puddles toward the far wall.
Fuck! He cried, collapsing on the floor just 3 feet short of the wall. God damn it!
The others approached cautiously. Julian guided the carpet toward Tim just above the floor.
Stay back,
warned Tony the elf.
It's obviously some kind of magical trap.
Julian shook his head.
The magic on the floor is too weak. It's only strong on the walls.
It's no fucking magical trap,
said Tim, showing them the bottom of his bleeding foot.
It's broken glass. It's all over the place.
What a jerk, said Stacy.
Give him a break, said Cooper. He's bleeding.
Not Tim, Mordred.
Tim hopped on his good foot back to the carpet.
Thank you, Cooper, for jumping to that conclusion.
You got it, buddy.
Julian continued to stare at the multi-aured wall.
What was that about Mordred?
Potions don't burn, said Stacy, so he must have thrown him against the wall.
What a fucking asshole,
said Cooper. He'd gone back to dig through the pile of burnt garbage. He kicked aside scorched, twisted blades and misshapen plates of what used to be armor.
Looks like it took a hammer to some of this armor,
Chaz sighed.
Oh, just in case the fire didn't burn hot enough to ruin it.
Cooper hurled a dented helmet at the wall.
I don't think I've ever met someone who I've wanted to punch repeatedly in the dick as much as I want to... Hey, what the fuck is this?
Julian looked over. Whatever Cooper was holding wasn't magical, so he ended his detect magic spell. It was a metallic tube about a foot long and about as wide around as the masterwork dildo. With all of the vaguely cylindrical objects at his mind's disposal, he wasn't pleased that Masterwork Dildo was the first association it made. Cooper poured some of the water from the pitcher to clear away the soot. The tube looked familiar and appeared to have suffered no damage from the fire.
That's mine, said Stacy abruptly.
Says who?
Asked Catherine. Stacy frowned.
I don't know. I just have a very strong suspicion that it belongs to me.
Fuck your suspicions, said Catherine. You can't just call dibs. Cooper found it first.
Give it a rest, Catherine, said Tim. It's hers.
Everyone stared awkwardly at Tim, even Stacy. It was common knowledge that he had a thing for her, but this seemed like a very odd moment for him to side with her against his own sister and possibly even Cooper.
What the fuck are you all gawking at? Said Tim. It's her character sheet. It would have been with the rest of her belongings when the horsemen captured her.
Everyone let out a collective sigh of relief.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
My what?
Asked Stacy, looking from Tim to Julian.
Here,
said Cooper.
Check it out.
He lobbed the tube at her while she was still looking the other way, but she snatched it out of the air just before it would have hit the back of her head. Stacy unscrewed the top of the tube and pulled out the single sheet of paper inside. Unrolling it, she frowned at what she saw.
It's me, all right, but my scores kind of suck.
Tim shrugged.
Ability scores aren't everything. What's your highest?
18.
Dave and Cooper laughed. Even Tony the elf cracked a smile.
You're moaning about your scores when you've got an 18?
Said Tim.
That's the highest you can get.
Stacy continued frowning at her sheet.
That seems unlikely.
It's simple math, said Tim. You roll your stats with 4 6-sided dice and drop the lowest roll. Between the 3 dice that are left, the highest possible total is 18.
What's your 18 in?
Asked Cooper.
I'm thinking strength.
Uh-uh, said Tony the elf. She's dressed like a rogue. And did you see how she caught that tube you threw at her? It's dex.
My money's on charisma, said Tim.
Julian noticed that Stacy was still frowning, staring intensely at her character sheet.
Stacy? So, which is it?
Stacy finally looked up from the paper.
All of them.